Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 38. The Tantri Tiryag Rishi Deva Jasha Vatarara. Lokan viva ya yasi hansi jagat pratipan. Dharmam mahapurusha pashi yuga yuganritam. Chana kalo yat abhavastri yogo tasatvam. Itam. In this way, Nri, like a human being, such as Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra. Tirak, like animals, such as the boar. Rishi, as a great saint. Parasuram. Deva, as demigods. Jasha, as an aquatic, such as the fish and tortoise. Avatarai, by such different incarnations. Lokan, all the different planetary systems. Vibhavayasi, you protect. Hansi, you sometimes kill. Jagat Pratipan, persons who have simply created trouble in the world. Dharmam, the principle of religion. Mahapurusha, a great personality. Pashi, you protect. Yuga Anavritam, according to different millenniums. Chana, covered. Kalo, in the age of Kali. Yat, since. Abhavava, have been and will be in the future. Triyuga, name Triyuga. Atta, therefore. Saha, the same personality. Twam, you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demonic principles. According to the age, my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Purport. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitava, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas or millenniums, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Lord Sri Krishna, although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna, because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, in many Vedic incarnate literatures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sanglopangasra Parshadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yantihi Sumedasaha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates such as Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement, inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedasa, a person with substantial intelligence. Translation again. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the divine act principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri-Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. In the fourth chapter, when Arjuna asked Krishna that the sun god is senior to you, so how is it that you're telling me that before you spoke this Bhagavad Gita to him? So then Krishna says, Ajopi san av avyatma, bhutanam ishvaropi san, prakatim svam adishtaya sambhava yatmamaya, that although I'm unborn, my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the source of all beings, still I descend in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So Krishna is coming just like it describes, or appearing in incarnations as it's described, just like the waves of the ocean. There are incessant waves of the ocean. So there are incessant incarnations. Idayadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam tridamyaham. Whenever there is a rise of irreligion and a predominant disappearance of real religion, idayadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever religion is threatened by the rise of irreligion, then he appears millennium after millennium. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya chudiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. In order to protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish religious principles, I appear millennium after millennium. Janma karma tami divyam evam yove titatvataha tyatvadeham panarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. That anyone who knows about the transcendental nature and truth by practical experience of my appearance and activities, he doesn't take birth again in the material world, but actually attains to the spiritual world. So in other words, all we do is have to find out or realize Krishna, and then we go back to the spiritual world. Specifically, how he's appearing in his internal energy and how his activities are all divine. They're all spiritual under the internal energy. So why don't we experience that? Vita raga vaya krodha manmaya mamupashitya bahava gyana tapasa putama bhava agata. Being free from attachment, from fear, and from anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons of the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love from me. Well, we have only three problems, so that's easy. We just have to take the three problems, and we can go back to the spiritual world. Attachment, fear, and anger. Little things to take care of. Just brush them off and we'll be back in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada in the Purport defines what attachment, fear, and anger mean in the practical, in our practical existence. That attachment means we're attached to the material energy. Anyone notice they're a little attached to their body? No, I guess. Anyhow, you always learn something new. Because we're in the material concept of life, we can't conceive of anything beyond what we're perceiving as matter. We don't conceive that there's such a thing as spirit. Everything appears to us to be material. And even if we do know that I'm not this body, still, our whole experience is negative, practically speaking. Although we may imagine in the material world there is something positive, but ultimately it all turns out to be negative. Because even we find our soulmate and we fall in love, we fall out of love after some time. Or we have to leave our love, and we don't know where we're going. Or our love leaves us. Or our love finds someone else who's more lovable than us. We find someone else more lovable. So, it's always complicated. And there's always disappointed. At the end of the life, if you accumulate great material resources, fame, honor, material wealth, material education, and you're leaving this world, and if you spend your whole life accumulating these things, how frustrating it is. You're about to lose everything. And after working so hard, if you got a book from the Hare Krishna movement and just read something about reincarnation, you may be fearful. What's my next life going to be like? I got all this honor, all this prestige, all this wealth, but I did so, and sometimes in a dishonest way, and therefore I may take birth in the lower species of life. So how much one will lament at the time of death? You have some honor for a fraction of a second, and then you wind up as a dog somewhere. Or as Prabhupada said in one couple of lectures, actually he was pointing it out, that one astrologer was saying that the former Prime Minister of India, he took birth in Europe before the EU, though, as one of two dogs in Sweden. He was a prime minister for decades, so powerful, and one of the second largest, or maybe even at that time the largest country in the world. He leaves his body, and he takes birth as a dog. Not only a dog, but in Sweden. Doesn't have exactly the same climate as India. Not only that, but he's one of two dogs. He doesn't even get his own dog bowl. He has to share it with some other dog. And it could have been formerly a dog from a Muslim country, for all he knows. Could have been a Pakistani dog. Now he got to fight with him as a dog. How embarrassing. But he's not embarrassed, because at least he took birth in a European country. What's that?
Pious dog.
He probably, took someone slipped him some prasadam sometime. So how fearful, working so hard for material advancement, and then we wind up in a lower species of life. Therefore, fearful. Everyone is fearful, because after leaving this body, there's no guarantee. Does anyone have a slip from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Panchatattva, one-way ticket to Goloka Vrindavan? You're going to leave your body at 6 o'clock, the Vaikuntha airplane should become at 6:15, you're just going to wait around for a little bit and it's all right, it's going to be all right. Even we don't know exactly where we're going after leaving this body. But to speak of a person who has no idea that they're not their body, what their destination is. And anger. People working so hard, sacrificing, suffering, and at the end they think it's all zero. How frustrating is that? That the worst criminal and yourself, you could be the worst criminal, but the worst criminal, the most pious person, they wind up as nothing. That the whole thing makes absolutely no sense, and therefore complete frustration. Existentialism, voidism, whatever you may call it. So these are all material consciousness that bothers everyone. Everyone's trying to solve so many problems of life. Materana Krishne, Paratak Sutova, ito bipadyeta griha vratanam. Adantiko viravishitamtam isram punak punas charvita charvanana. Everyone is trying to solve problems. Today, how many problems are we going to try and solve? Of course, some of us will try to solve the main problem that people don't know about Krishna. But in between that, we probably have some other problems we're trying to solve. Like, fill our empty stomach. It's a problem. There's no prasadam. It's going to be even more of a problem. But for right now, we're not worried so much about that problem. But when it's time for prasadam, we take it seriously. If someone says, oh, don't worry about it, you know, your stomach will be empty tomorrow, it's empty today, don't bother, yeah, fill it up tomorrow. Yeah, sure, why not? You know, I can skip a few days. But I got a lot of things to do anyhow. No, we'll take that problem seriously. So there are so many problems, but the real problems they don't talk about. If you go to the university, and they're trying to solve so many problems through technology. Get the computer faster, the iPhone. The battery in the iPhone lasts a little bit longer. It's a big problem. So many problems. Trying to solve the problem of the lockdown, the lock-in, the lock-up. We're not only locked up, locked down, but we're locked up. So many different problems. And yet the real problems of janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha nidarshana, those they just don't even mention. As I said before, if you go to a university and you stand up and ask the learned philosopher and ask them, what is my duty, the professor who's a learned philosopher, you ask him, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? Immediately he'll push some button, the campus police will come and arrest you, you'll get charged as being a terrorist, you'll appear in court, the learned professor will say, he threatened me. I can repeat exactly what he said. He said, he asked me a question, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? And they'll put you in jail for 20 years for asking such a question. So that's the position of our modern society. If anyone ever dare ask such a question, what is going to happen to us when we die, then we'll get in trouble for disturbing everyone's mind. Nowadays in America, if you see on campus one lady and you say, you know, excuse me, miss, you'll get arrested. Because she doesn't think she's a miss. She's a mister. Or she's something else. One of the other 72 designations they have. So you've disturbed her mind. So that's the state, that's how people's consciousness. As I said, when they were doing some interview on campus for the students in Oregon, in one of the universities of Oregon, and the interviewer would stop the students and say, now if I told you I was actually a Chinese girl, 6'5" tall, what would you say about that? And the students were saying, well, if you really feel like that, you know, what could I say if you really believe that? Therefore, people are fearful, they're attached, they're frustrated, angry, and they're completely bewildered. And that, to get free from these things, one has to follow devotional service. There's no other way of getting free from our material conceptions of life. And thus follows the process of devotional service and becomes Krishna conscious, comes to the stage of bhava. So at the stage of bhava, all our misconceptions are cleared away by the ecstasy of bhava. Then the result is, it doesn't really matter, or it does matter, but just by understanding everything theoretically won't get us free from this attachment, fear, and anger. We have to voluntarily give it up. In other words, these thoughts will go through our mind, and we give them up. Then And if we perform devotional service, in other words, while we're performing devotional service, if we don't become attached to these thoughts, we give them up, as Krishna says, masuchaha, give up your worrying, these misconceptions, then the result is that we'll be in ecstasy remembering Krishna. And if we don't give them up, then we'll simply carry them around with us. Maya will, if she sees, oh, you really want my association, I won't leave you. She goes, oh, boo. We go, oh, don't say that, Maya. Say what? Boo. Then Maya will just walk around with us eternally. You know, we're, no, no, Maya, please don't say that again. Boo. Oh, no. So unless we're willing, Maya goes, boo, and goes, big deal. We become aloof from it. We don't care about it. We want to hear about Krishna. Maya, can you say something about Krishna instead? It's pretty boring, you know. Boo, boo, boo. Say something a little bit more important. And then Maya will go away. Maya sees that we're not attached to her. She'll find someone else. She got plenty to do. She doesn't have to worry about us. She'll have plenty of people to put in illusion. She loses one or two conditioned souls. She's not going to lament, oh my God, I had such a nice conditioned soul, I lost. I think I'm going to quit. Oh, my, we'll go on. Even if we go back to the spiritual world, she has plenty of people to work on. She's not going to be out of a job. Maya's unemployed. Oh, no. Maybe you can find her a job somewhere. Therefore, Krishna's coming millennium after millennium in so many different forms, just so that we can get out of this material conceptions. That's all. There's nothing. He's not coming here for a vacation. He's not coming as a fish because he heard the water's good here. Decided to check it out. It's nothing like that. He doesn't come here to, you know, lift Mount Meru on his back because really he has an itch. He's in the spiritual world. He asks all his devotees to scratch it, but they just wouldn't do it out of reverence. So he came here and he was happy they finally put a mountain on his back so he can get rid of the itching sensation. No, he's only coming for the same purpose, to give us the knowledge to become devotees so we can vanquish our own material conceptions of life, become free from becoming an asura. And especially in this age, he's made the process as easy as it's ever going to become. If you don't think, oh, it's too hard, schnick, schnick, ram, ram, I keep chanting that every day, maybe you can make it a little easier. Maybe the whole process could be eating prasadam 10 times a day. Then you go back to the spiritual world. No, he's made it as easy as it could possibly be. And if we don't like this one, then we'll have to wait for the next era, yuga. We are so fortunate to take birth as a human being. And then we can try meditate for 10,000 years and see if that's any easier. In any case, the chanting, dancing, and feasting, Prabhupada said, that's our process. Kevala Ananda Kanda is simply joyful. And after doing that, you can take a little rest and chant, dance, and feast again. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? The Panchatattva is asleep. Watch him. Anything? Any question? So what is it?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. You mentioned these three obstacles, raga, bhaya, krodha. Can you explain once again, krodha and that void? You're speaking about the void.
Frustration. Frustration is the preliminary feeling before complete anger. So frustration of the conception of void. I'm working so hard, I'm doing so many things, meditating, austerity, whatever. At the end, I just enter into the void and everything is, I disappear.
But do people really think that they will merge in the void?
Yeah, most people think like that. They have no idea where they're going, so why don't they? For them, the idea of merging and disappearing is as logical, reasonable as any other conception, because they have no idea what's going on.
They just focus on the sense gratification, usually, no?
Yeah, in order to forget the inevitable death.
So they avoid that question and avoid that...
Yeah, they don't think anyone has the answer. If you come up with the answer, they think you're proud and puffed up.
Like a agnostic, no one knows.
No, they're atheists, most people. Or they're agnostic, whatever you want to call them. But according to the Bhagavad Gita, most people appear to be philosophical, or what is it, philosophical, or atheistic, or this is Bhagavad Gita 13:26. It's 14. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the age of ignorance. People are just in ignorance. They don't know what's going to happen, so they're pessimistic. They always think about the worst possible scenario. Therefore, I remember one time I was in Soho Street, and one devotee walked in and he said, "Oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw." The devotee went out to bloop. So he had all his belongings, he was just leaving the temple. And when he went out, there were two street people. They got into a quarrel with each other. And one of them out of his boot pulled his sword out of his boot and speared the other devotee, the other street person, and kept on sticking the sword into him again and again and again until he looked like a sieve. And then, finally, they couldn't take it. An ambulance would be late. They actually flew in a helicopter. The homeless person who had the sword from his boot, he just walked away. I don't know if they ever caught him. But they flew in a helicopter to take care of a homeless person. Of course, he died, you know, in a pool of blood. But anyhow, their idea is that this is the whole thing. If you die, the whole thing's over, and therefore, it doesn't matter. Even the person's, he's brain dead, you just put him on a life support. And they just, you know, keep him for years on this life support. He has no brain, he's nothing. Probably, as soon as they take the life support, he's gone. But they keep him there for years, because they're afraid he might die. Because they have no idea what's going to happen. So they'll spend billions of dollars to keep people alive, completely useless, suffering, like anything. I mean, look at, you go to Russia, you can go to the Lenin's tomb, and his body is still there, frozen. They don't want him to leave.
Too late.
Yeah, probably he's become a capitalist by the time. My God, I should have been a capitalist. They would have let me go. Some people are—they're in complete anxiety about when they die. They die horrible deaths. I want to speak when the Yamadutas come and take them away. Anything else? Thank you very much, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.